Tonight, did you bring your Bibles? Praise God. I'm really excited for what God has for us tonight. Have you been blessed already?
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. What an honor it is for us to lay hands on you and to pray over you and to speak over you. You know, we don't take that lightly. And I knew even as I got up today that, man, that just the enemy did not want that to happen tonight. And we had some major pushback, but we did it. And nothing he can do about it. Amen? Praise God. And you are going forth in the might and power and ability of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The burden removing, the yoke destroying power of God. Hallelujah. All right, well, hold your Bibles up. Say this after me. This is my Bible.
The
inspired and living Word of God. Given to all men for all ages. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. As I'm taught the Word of God, I boldly declare, I have eyes to see, I have ears to hear, and my heart is open and receptive to the truth of God's Word. And I'll not only be a hearer, but I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer. I'll be a doer of the Word of God. And as I do, I know I will be blessed. Amen and amen. Well, turn with me, excuse me, to our scripture we've been using now for several weeks, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and the end of verse 30. I have to get a drink here. How many have been enjoying this series? I'll tell you, it is a powerful... I got a little tickle in my throat here. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30 says this, and the last thought, it says, "For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Now tell me again, who said this right here? How many believe that the Lord is true to His Word? How many believe that what we're reading here is 100% absolutely true? Okay? Amen? Well, then we must understand tonight that this right here covers every single aspect of our lives. Every single, I mean, it covers your spiritual well-being, your emotional well-being, your relational, physical, mental, emotional, your financial, material, success in your business, success in your job, success in school, success in your relationships, in your marriage, with your children, grandchildren, everything that you do, it reaches far into those places. Let's read it together, can we? Let's read it. "For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." God will honor you if you what? If you honor Him, right? Now, again, don't let this word despise fool you a little bit, because it has a wide range of meanings, from total disgust and disdain and aversion, total displeasure, to simply ignoring something, ignoring the things of God. That this wide range. So if we're honoring God, it means that we're placing some weight on the things of God. Amen? Including coming to church. Those of you who are coming to church, you've honored God tonight by your presence here tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. And so you've placed a value on that. It has a greater significance. It carries weight with you. Amen? And so that's what we're talking about as far as honor. We honor God. Or I should say, I guess when we honor God, we're saying that the things of God are important to us. That they take priority over other things. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, I'll share this, Lord. I just heard this. This may not seem like a big deal to most of you, but believe me, in my life, it was a big deal one time, because I've been a football fan since I was about 6 years old. You name the stars, and I've probably watched them play from almost the very beginning of football, not all the way back, but pretty close. To the point where I've had, and I still do to this day, have Bronco season tickets, 26 rows up on the 40-yard line, on the west stands. Tickets that most people would die for, so if you'll pardon the expression. And I'll tell you what the reason is, that I was an avid football fan, and about 100 times more of that, Bronco fan. But as I grew in the things of the Lord, and as I grew in Him, and grew in my call, and grew in what in the Spirit of God, those things just kind of began to fade away. And my wife she's a testimony to it. I mean, I've been to one game in the last maybe 3 years, and they're on Sundays. And you know, I could make the services shorter so that I could jump in the car and go to the Bronco game. But you know what? They don't mean that much to me anymore. Why? Because I'm valuing the things of God. I'm honoring the things of God. So the reason I said, you know, you may laugh at that, but what do you have in your life that's so important that you passionately like to do or to go or to see? You know, see, there's things that I know there's people here tonight, and I'm not going to mention any names, that have chosen to do something else than to be here because those things were more important than being in church. Let's just be honest, okay? And I understand we all have to grow in that area. So I'm not, you know, throwing stones at anybody. I'm not judging anyone. So don't go home and, you know, say that Pastor Chris was calling down those that weren't in church. No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm giving you an example that when we really begin to honor God, the things that we have in the world begin to fade away. And we make time to do the things that we know are important to Him. And when we do that, we're honoring God. And what's going to happen? God will honor you. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. How many would like to honor God tonight? Can I help you with that question in case you're not sure? You do want to know how to honor God, plain and simple. Why? Because there's nothing in your life that will guarantee your success, your prosperity, your health, your well-being, your mental, your emotional, your physical, spiritual well-being, than honoring God. Because when you do that, God honors you. Amen? And so we need to, and I was big in this and early in my life, so those of you who know me, we need to stop worrying about being honored by men. We need to forget about being acknowledged by men and our biggest desire is to be known and acknowledged by God. Amen? Amen. In fact, you know, I'm just an open book. Can I be honest with you tonight? Sounds like my wife. Can I be honest with you? There was a time when, after I got born again, where I backslid. And the reason's not important. We all know it's a lie, right? Bottom line. But my young mental thinking, you know, in my early 20s, and I got to have a lot of money because it's going to give me power and people are going to know who I am and I'll be somebody important. That was my whole focus. So I did that. And I had no money. So I had to figure out how to do this. So I figured out a way. I put $500 in. And long story short, I bought 30 different income properties with $500 because I recruited some people to help me. And things were going great. Man, we're making money. I'm doing most of the work until the bottom dropped out of the rental market. And all of a sudden, one of my 24-unit apartment buildings had like 20 vacancies. And the apartment manager that I put in there was smoking dope with the other four people who were in there and was collecting cash from the ones that were renting it and spending it to buying dope. And I wasn't making any money, but how many know the bank still wanted their payment? What am I saying to you? I'm saying that, you know, whatever we do to try and be acknowledged before men, to be important, to get power and prestige and value in our lives, all that stuff is rubbish. The one thing that you want to be acknowledged by is you want to be acknowledged by God. Amen? There's nothing wrong with owning, by the way, there's nothing wrong with owning 24 or, you know, 30 rental units. It's just, what is your motivation? Did God tell you to do that? So what am I saying to you? We want to be known by men and not by God. Amen? That's how we be. What did I say? We want to be known by God and not by men. See, that little, there we go. Thank you. Why? Because that's how we become a blessing to others. Amen? So, you have to understand that when you prosper, when you increase spirit, soul, and body, God's blessed you. God's honored you, right? And how do we honor God? We honor God by walking in love. We honor God by abounding in faith. We honor God by manifesting the blessing in this world. But what is the key to having God honor us more in these type of scenarios? Because you and I, this is what we're all about here. We're learning how to honor God more in our lives. So turn with me to Luke 16, if you would. Because as we learn to honor God, the more we honor God, we know that God's word is true to his word. That means the more he's going to honor us. But here's the thing. And this was the whole point of me kind of sharing some of this thing. Many times what men value and what men perceive as being wealthy and worthwhile enough, God calls it rubbish. And I'm going to prove it to you. Luke 16, verse 15. This is Jesus. He said, "So you're the ones who declare yourselves just and upright in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts, your thoughts, your desires, your secrets. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable," in other words, an abomination, oh boy, "in the sight of God." Would it be safe tonight to say that God looks at people in an entirely different way? Is that correct? Yeah. And this happened in Jesus' day. Because you see, the people that knew Jesus, they judged him after the flesh. They judged him after what they could see. Because they knew his family. They knew his mother. They knew his father. They knew his brothers and his sisters. They knew where he lived. They knew what he did for a living. They knew what he did for a trade. And because of that, they did not see him as being valuable in their day. And Jesus warned us of this. You don't have to turn there. John 7:24, he says this, "Do not judge by appearance, superficially and arrogantly, but judge fairly and righteously." What am I saying here? God sees you and me from the inside out. Is that right? See, God sees our heart. And to honor him, we want to be able to see people the way God sees people. We talked a little bit about this last week, but we're going to get into more tonight. We need to begin to see people in our lives based on the way God sees them, not what we see on the external. Can I hear an amen? Why? He says, "Because for that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable and an abomination in the sight of God." Hallelujah. So that right there tells me, I'm trying to get rid of this glare. I can't remember where it is. This tells me right here that we have a clash of two different value systems, if you will. So a lot of times what men calls valuable, what does God call it? Rubbish, an abomination, and vice versa. Amen? What God calls valuable, most people just, they despise it. They just ignore it. They don't think it has any value. But see, this is going to take some mind renewal on our part, some revelation. But we have to be able to see people the way God sees them. Amen? And when we see people the way God sees them, now we're honoring him. And as we honor him, he's going to honor us. Amen? So how do you see people? How do you hear them? How do you speak about them? How do you treat them? Again, remind, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about the honor of God, right? So what we have to understand tonight is that as we learn to honor people, because we know from last week, if you were here last week, as we honor people, we're honoring God, right? How do we know that? Because Jesus said, Whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, what? You've done it unto me. So now we can begin to see a little different perspective on the way we treat people, because we understand if we're treating people in a wrong way, whatever the reason, we're dishonoring God. Is that right? Yeah. So part of honoring people is four things. I'm just going to say it real quickly. How we see them, number one. Number two, how we hear them. Number three, how we speak about them. And number four, how we treat them. Hallelujah. And all of these are places and things that I know that all of us need to increase in our life. So one of the things that I would say to you is how we talk about people is very important to God. For instance, you'll never hear me call my wife my old lady.
I'm not old.
No, you're not. But you know what I'm talking about. In the vernacular, oh, that's my old lady. That's my old man. Even when my father was alive, before he passed, I never called my father my old man, and I never called him after he passed. He was my father. He was my dad. But he's never my old man. Oh, that's my old man. Why? What's wrong with that? It's disrespectful. We have to understand. And so, oh, well, Pastor Chris, come on. You're just not tuned in to the culture of our times. It's no big deal. It's just the way we're raised, you know. You know, my mom called my mom, or my dad called my mom his old lady, and she called him his old man. It's just the way we're raised. You still understand. Yeah, I do understand. And it's not right. And it's disrespectful. And it has nothing to do with culture. It has everything to do with honor. Amen? It's honor. Children, here's another example. Children calling their parents by their first names. Or your grandchildren calling you by your first names. What's wrong with that? It's dishonorable. We've dealt with that a little bit in our family, and we addressed it right away. You do not, you know, this one little boy is saying, he was going, Baba Jane, and just Jane, and just talking about Jane. I said, I was a little confused. I said, who's Jane? She said, oh, that's my mom. I said, what? No. That's your mom. You don't call your mom Jane. No, nothing personal. I just realized. But children calling their parents by first name, their grandparents, that's a problem. And we have to understand, those kind of children, when they grow up, are going to have some major problems if they don't get it straightened out now. Why? Because if they don't know how to respect their parents now, they don't know how to respect their grandparents now. They won't respect their teachers. Come on. They won't respect the law enforcement. They won't respect their employer. They won't respect the civil authorities. And they won't respect God. This is so important in our children. So respect for God is revealed directly how we respect people. In fact, we were watching this show that was real popular last night. I was thinking about the thing we saw, and the situation came up. These parents had their child in boarding school, and he got in a fight because this guy was kind of bullying him, talking about his mom, and they had a no physical violence policy in the school. And so unless this boy gave an absolute total apology to this other boy, they were going to expel him. And his parents looked at him and said, well, can't you, you know, and next thing you know, the parents are taking the boy's side and he's expelled, and they go out and they think it's okay. That was not okay. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the trouble in our schools. They call the parents into for a meeting because the child's been acting up. Half the times nowadays, in my day, it's like, oh, God, don't call my parents, don't call my parents, because I know I'll be dead when I get home. You know what I'm talking about? He'd take a strap, or, you know, or the paddle or something, and I wouldn't be able, as my dad used to say, you won't be able to sit down for a week. That's what he used to say to me. And now, the parents take the children's side and are against the principal or against the teacher or against the school. Why? Because they don't know how to respect people. That's not okay. And it's not respecting God. Look at, actually go over to Matthew 10 with me. Matthew 10, verse 40. He says, Jesus talking, he who receives and welcomes you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives and welcomes a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. If you remember back in the Gospels, as I was reading through it this week, many times the people of the day referred to Jesus as that fellow. That fellow who's perverting our nation. See, we know all about Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't know where he came from. This fellow who said he's going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. This fellow. Did you hear that phrase? This fellow. Two little words tell you volumes about what's going on inside these people. That fellow. This fellow. I don't know about you, but I don't refer to Jesus as that fellow. How about you? Tell me who Jesus is tonight. Come on, help me. Who is Jesus? He's the Master. He's the Savior. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And we worship Him and we honor Him and we respect Him. We don't call, you know, that fella. You see the difference? That's how they were treating Jesus. Luke 10:16, just keep your place there for a minute. We'll go through some of these quick. He says, "The one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him, my heavenly Father who sent me." Let me read it in the King James because it uses the same language as in our text. He says, "He that hears you hears me. He that despises you despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me." I mean, is he saying right here, if you honor the one I sent, then you've honored me? Is that what he's saying? If you fail to honor the one he was sent, does that mean we fail to honor him? That we've despised him? But if we listen to the one we send, we listen to the one that he was sent by? Is that what he's saying here? See, many times we tend to think when we read this as a sent one, as, you know, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, or whatever. But it's not exclusive of what's being said right here. If we fail to value the people that God sends in our lives, then we will end up not valuing Him as well. In other words, if we don't honor one another, we are not honoring Him. Let me read you another scripture, John 15:20. He says, "Remember and continue to remember that I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours also." So with all that in mind, now let's turn to James 1. Because I've just been building a little foundation here for where we're going tonight. James chapter 1. Say amen when you're there. Hallelujah. He says, "Understand this," verse 19. "Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear," in other words, be a careful, thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, and forgiving. Quick to what? Hear. Slow to what? And slow to be what? Angry. Should we be doing this? Did you know that most people in the church practice this very religiously every single day in the opposite way? They're not quick to hear. They're not slow to speak. And they're not slow to take offense and get angry. Quick. Instantaneously, ready to fly off the handle, quick to get upset, quick to get mad, quick to talk, quick to speak, always talking before they're thinking, and they're very slow to hear. I'm telling you today, it's very uncommon really to find a good listener in our society anymore. Someone who really hear what the other person is saying. And what my experience, and I've done this myself, and I know you've done it, so you know you don't have to look real religious when I say this. We sit there and listen, think we're listening to somebody, and as they're talking, our mind's going, we're loading our guns, just can't hardly wait for them to stop or take a breath so that we can get in our counter to what they're, how many know what I'm talking about? That's not what he's talking about here. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalm 4. Hallelujah. This may seem a little disjointed tonight, but I'm working towards something, so just stay with me here. Psalm 4, verse 4, in the Amplified Classic Bible. How many have an Amplified Classic? Did you know you had a classic? Now you can go home and tell your spouse, I have a classic. Hallelujah. He says, be angry, verse 4, in other words, I think the King James says, stand and on, sin not. Commune with your own hearts upon your beds and be silent. Sorry for the things you say in your hearts. Commune with your own hearts upon your beds and be what? Silent. See, one way of showing respect is by being still and listening. And of course, the opposite of that would be talking when you should be listening. Someone say, disrespectful. And are you wanting to grow in honor and respect before God? I know I am. Then we must grow, watch this, we must grow in our ability to be quiet. Did you hear me? We must learn how to be still and to be quiet. And again, I'm telling you, it's going to take some mind renewal because most of us are anything but quiet and still. I mean, it's just, you know, the nature, way we've acted and behaved and learned to be. But we don't have to stay that way. Amen? And believe me, I am not throwing stones at anybody here tonight because I've failed in all of these areas which I'm speaking to you tonight. But I have grown in some of them too. And I am growing. Amen? But let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about here. As pastors, Pastor JoJo and I, we've had people that have come to us that have been in some very difficult situations, contacted us for help for whatever reason, you know, a variety of reasons. And we always try and take those times very seriously when they come to meet with us. And many times while they're talking to us or talking to me, I can't now for JoJo, but I'm sure she would say the same thing, you know, we're looking on the inside for what we're going to say back. You know what I'm talking about? Why? Because they don't need my opinion. They don't need to know what I think. They need to hear from God. Amen? So while they're talking to me, I'm checking my heart over and over. I may hear something and I want to make sure that what I'm hearing is the Lord and not my own voice or not my own opinion. And then when I really begin to get a clear picture of what's going on, what needs to be done. Now remember, this person came to us for help. And then when they finally stop talking and give us a minute to begin to share with them, many, many times, before we even begin to get half of what we've just heard, they interrupt us and they start talking again. Have you had that experience? And I'll be honest with you. I have to work hard at not getting annoyed at them. And it's not because I'm taking a personal affront. It's that because what are they really doing? They're interrupting God. Because it's God that wants to speak to them, and they're interrupting him. How many have had an experience like that? But see, what really is happening is many times people like that, they're not really wanting an answer to their problem. What they really want you to do is they want you to feel sorry for them. They want you to commiserate them. Oh, you poor thing. I can't believe that happened. They just want us to feel sorry for them. Commiserate with their plight. And they don't really have a desire to change. They just want somebody to come alongside and so they can cry on their shoulder and feel sorry for them. And it keeps them in the center of attention many times. But if they would just stop interrupting and they would hear what the Lord had to say to them, their situation would change. So what am I saying? Without even knowing it, those people are despising the things of God because they won't be quiet long enough to hear what God has to say to them. And I'm telling you, this is a big problem in the society in which we live because it has not been taught to this generation that we're living in. We're not teaching it to our children. And basically what we have today is that we have a failure of multiple generations of not understanding honor and not understanding respect and reverence. But I'm telling you, it needs to stop now. And if we're going to have it in our way, it's going to stop in this church and in this generation. Can I hear an amen? Hallelujah. We need to change this now. Because if the Lord tarries, our children and our grandchildren will do better than we've done with this. Amen? There used to be a saying in my day. I don't know if many of you heard it, but the saying went like this. Children should be seen and not heard. How many have ever heard that? Do you know that there's a lot more truth to that than meets the eye? See, many people in our current generation think that they've grown beyond this. And they've become so lax in raising their children in these areas because they somehow think that this is going to make them a better man or a woman when they grow up, but it's not true. And we're paying a huge price for it today in our society. Many of the things that you see that are making headlines in the nightly news, this is the exact same reason, because the children were not taught to honor and respect when they were children. And as a result, we're seeing the things in our society that have come up as a result of this generation not teaching their children honor and respect. We have children that don't mind. We have children that mouth off in class, start fights with their teachers, start fight with their parents, and we just stand by and do nothing. I don't know how many times I've been in a retail location with a, and it's usually, I'm not trying to be a stereotype, but you know, a lot of times the woman is the caretaker for the children while the man, with a mother and her young child, and the child throws a holy temper tantrum in the, anybody seen that?
Yeah.
I mean, and the, what does the mom do? They, oh, the poor, they just stand there and let, the child's beating on them, hitting them, pulling things down, screaming, running around, throwing things on the ground, stomping on the ground, rolling on the floor, and the mom's just standing, oh, come on now, Junior, don't be like that. It only takes us about 5 minutes to remedy that one. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And as I said, you know, the schools, they call in the parents to address these problems. Many times the parents are taking the children's side. And they want to defend their actions instead of taking the task to it. When I was, if I got called into the principal's office, it didn't matter what it was. I was in big trouble when I got home. Whether or not they called my parents in or not. And when my mom and dad came in, I can tell you they are not going to take my side. You know what I'm talking about? That's not that way today. In most things, most instances. They mouth off to their teachers, they mouth off to the principals, mouth off to their leaders, they're mouthing off to their parents. Well, wait now. Brother Chris, you have to understand. Now, my child is very creative and he's very expressive. So I want him to learn to find himself. Have you heard that? Can I tell you in two words? In the immortal words of my dad? Bologna sauce. I never knew what bologna sauce was, but, you know, my dad, you know, he wasn't the most godly of men, but one thing he did, he just didn't cuss. So it was always bologna sauce. That's what this is, bologna sauce. Let's call it like it is. Your child is rebellious and out of control. Is that right? Now, let me make this disclaimer, because I know we have some parents that have small children here, so I am not aiming this at any particular family or children in our church, okay? So there's no reason to get upset with me. Children need to be children. Is that right? Yeah. They need to run, they need to play, they need to jump, they need to exercise. Absolutely. But I'm telling you, as soon as they are able to understand that there are times when they need to learn to be quiet, they need to learn to be still, there's a time to talk and there's a time not to talk, and now is not the time to talk, now is not the time to ask questions, sit still and be quiet. Come on, somebody. And God forbid if they don't do that we should, I'm going to say the word, spank them or otherwise cause bodily pain on their derrieres. Do you know how many, do you know one reason that your behind was created in the way it was created? Let me read some scripture. You don't have to turn it. You might want to write them down. Proverbs, we're going to go through these real quick, David. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Did you hear that? A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in the latter end. Now that may not be real clear. Listen to it in the Amplified. Discipline your son while there is hope. But do not indulge your anger resentments by undue chastisement. In other words, don't discipline them out of anger. You know, you got to get your anger in control before you discipline them, okay? But but do not indulge your angry resentments by undue chastisement and set yourself to his ruin. A man of great wrath shall suffer the penalty. For if you deliver him from the consequences, in other words, you just let it go by and there's no consequences to pay for his actions, guess what? He will feel free to cause you pain to do it again. Hear counsel, receive instruction, accept correction, that you may be wise in the time to come. Proverbs 20, verse 30. Blows that wound cleanse away evil, and strokes for correction reach to the innermost parts. Proverbs 13, 24. He who spares his rod of discipline hates his son. I didn't write this. He who spares the rod of discipline hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently and punishes him early. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left undisciplined brings his mother to shame. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not discipline from the child. For if you strike and punish him with the reed-like rod, mine used to be a big spoon. The dreaded wooden mixing spoon. How many know what I'm talking about? Right there it is. You shall whip him with the rod and deliver his life from Sheol, Hades, the place of the dead. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline, the old baking spoon, will drive it far from him. Proverbs 29:17, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your heart. What am I saying? We need to start early with our children, right? And I'm not saying that every time they do something wrong, you have to spank them. No. There's other ways, certainly, to discipline them. But when all else fails, guess what? Wasn't it you that told me that when you get in trouble, they tell you to go out and you had to pick your own switch out in the backyard? From the willow tree, she got to choose the switch, bring it in. And I remember a time she put pillows under her pants. And then the dad discovered the pillows, and now she's even in bigger trouble. You know, but look at the way she turned out. Right? I'm not saying that you always have to spank, but first of all, we have to understand never discipline in anger. You never discipline in front of other people, so that you're embarrassing your children. But most of all, you want to communicate your disappointment in them. You want to communicate your disappointment that they didn't listen to you, that they did not honor you, and because of that, they did not honor God. You want to communicate that to your children. Amen? But then, you know, you never want to end by just walking away. You want to take them in your arms. You want to hold them. You want to tell them you love them, tell them how much they are loved, and then you want to pray for them. When you do that, you're giving a child clear boundaries. you're giving them a clear conscience, and most of all, you're giving them a changed behavior that honors God and honors people. Amen? I mean, children, even little children, have the ability to sit still and show respect. And I'm telling you, when they do, it is so precious, not only to mom and dad, but precious before God as well. But I'm telling you, it is not okay to let your children not do it. I don't care what excuse you come up with. You know, well, they're just the way they are, the way they are, they are. No, no, no. That may be your way. That is not God's way. Children, yes, they need to have liberty. They should be playing. They should be jumping and running and having fun and do well in life. That's important. But they also need to learn how to obey. Amen? Anyone remember what the first promise in the Bible with a promise is? Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Put that up on the screen for us. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. You want it to go well with your kids? You want them to live long on the earth? Every parent does, right? Then you'd better teach them how to show respect. There is a time to talk. There is a time to say what you think. But there is also a time to be quiet, and there's a time to listen. And the thing is that little ones don't know the difference. They don't know the difference between those two, so you have to show them, right? You have to train them to do this. And if they don't listen to you after you've spoken to with words, because that's where you want to start, then maybe eventually out comes the baking spoon. But they have to know you're serious. And if you tell them to do something, then you can't be a liar. You have to hold them to it. Right? If you tell them you're going to do something, this is the consequence, then be prepared to inflict the consequence, whatever that is. The bottom line, you're the parent and you have to stay with what you've said. So I don't care how much flipping and flopping it goes on, you know, rolling on the floor, crying and screaming and yelling, and they're not going to die, are they? What are we talking about tonight? Honoring God, right? Turn over to Psalm 46. I'm going to end with this scripture, I think. 46:10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." There's a time for children to run and jump and talk and scream and just be children. There's also a time when they need to learn not to do those things. They need to learn to sit quietly. They need to learn not to ask 100 questions. You listen to what is being said. If you know, it's interesting, as you go back through Genesis and Exodus, especially in Exodus, you'll find that the Lord's direction was for every person in the nation, including the children, to come and sit and listen to the whole law being read. Read it for yourself. That tells me that children can learn and understand a lot more than we give them credit for at a young age. Amen? Hallelujah. But let's look at it. Let's look at this from another perspective here. I was at lunch one time. JoJo and I both were at lunch with a major man of God, and if I told you his name, everybody in this room would know who he is. And because we had someone in our congregation that was going through something, we had arranged for them to come and have lunch and meet with this man of God. We didn't have to do that. We made a special opportunity for this couple to come and sit and hear from this man of God, okay? I mean, this is again, if I told you who he was, you'd all know him. And so when they sat down, for the next 45 minutes to an hour, this couple did not stop talking. They talked about this situation and that situation, and this needs to be done, and that needs to be done, and these people should be doing this, and that people do that, and the government should be doing this. And I'm sitting there thinking, you should shut up and listen to what the man of God has to say. Amen? But see what's happening. At that point, they did not value the person that they're sitting with. They did not value this man of God. They did not value the years that he's known the Lord, the years that he's walked with the Lord, the magnitude of his ministry, and then the effect that it has through the earth. They did not honor that. They didn't value him. They didn't really want to hear what the Lord said. They wanted to get, they had their agenda, and they wanted to get what they thought was the most important thing, and they wanted him to listen. But I'm telling you, if they really did value him, if they had wanted to hear what the Lord had to say to them, they would not have pontificated for 60 minutes until we're all about ready to fall asleep. What am I saying? Part of how you show honor is what how you hear. And so after the meeting, I was so embarrassed, to be honest with you. A man of God looked at me and he said, you know, I was really shocked. I really thought that couple was a lot more mature in the things of God than they really are. And I'm telling you, this man was a CEO of a major corporation in this country. So, you know, age and position in industry does not make you a mature Christian, right? So I'm going to ask you tonight, are you a good hearer? Are you quick to hear? Are you slow to speak? I mean, there are some things that we should not be hearing. And if you know you should not be hearing, then you need to get yourself out of that situation, right? I mean, a lot of us, we have well-meaning, I'm sure you all have well-meaning family members when you get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas. They want to talk you out of your faith. Well, I'm sorry, that's just not up for discussion. We're not going to go there. Let's change the subject, you know? But there are times when you should realize that who you're with, where you are, and you should be all ears. When Dr. Nasser Siddiqui visits, he likes to go out to dinner every time. And everybody's invited. And we've had the same thing. Most people, to their credit, a lot of you, we sit there and we're quiet. And we want to listen to what he has to say because he's there on assignment from God. But other people, talk. Well, what about this? What about that? You know, are they showing him honor? Are they showing him respect? No, they're not. So we have to determine when there is a time to speak, but there is also a time to listen. Amen? I mean, at those times, every ounce of my being is tuned in to what he's going to say. And accordingly, you may have had the same experience. I mean, I've even had divine appointments where I have intently been praying for a person or persons, sought the Lord for that person. The Lord gave me a word for them. But when I got to them, all they did was talk. Never once did I get the opportunity to share what God had for them because they didn't want to hear it. They didn't honor me and they didn't honor God. This one particular situation, a couple we had in our church going through some terrible marriage difficulties, I sat and sought the Lord diligently. God gave me 10 things that I needed to speak to this couple about that would, I know, if they would have heard, would have turned their marriage around. And before I met with them, I made a long-distance call to a gentleman that I knew that had known them. They had been in his life for a lot longer than I had known them. We had known them as pastors. And I just said, hey, look, he knew that I was their pastor, and I said, I'm not here to gossip. I'm not here to judge them, but, you know, we're having some problems. Is there anything that you can tell me about this couple that when we counsel with them, we can help them? Do you know? He gave me every single item on my list, all 10 items. I knew I'd heard from God. We never did get with him. We had an appointment. First time, she didn't show up. Second time, she showed up. And this is what she said. You guys aren't qualified to speak into my life. Okay. Well, there you have it. All right. So let's move on then. They were out of the church the next week. Within 6 months, they were divorced. See, they didn't value the time they had. They didn't value the person they were with. And as a result, the Lord was not able to share with them the word he had that would have turned their situation around. But then there have been other times, praise God. I tell you, when people were quiet, when they really wanted to hear and listen, things came out of me that I didn't even know were inside of me. Scripture after scripture after scripture, words of wisdom flow, words of knowledge are flowing out of me. Why? Because the Lord is working through me to touch this person. Because they're honoring him and they're honoring me. And their life get totally changed and totally turned around just because they honored the time the Lord gave them with the man or woman of God and the work that he wanted to do in them. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Would you stand with me in awe of him tonight? Just be still. Let's just be quiet for a minute. Let's let the Lord have his way. If we could, please. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes. Just take a deep breath. Just be still. Thank you, Lord. I believe the Lord has a word for us, but it's not through me. I believe it's through one of you. Who is that? Who's the Lord want to use tonight? I know there's somebody here. It. We're just going to wait. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we do cherish you. We cherish your word. We cherish the things of the Lord. Father, they're valuable, they're weighty, they're precious before our eyes. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I still think there's something more. I still believe there's something more here. Loma, you got something? No? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Lord, we receive that. Hallelujah. 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 If you get a chance, it's either last week or the week before, Richard Roberts was on the Believer's Voice of Victory with Brother Copeland. Anybody seen it? Hallelujah. He's got a wonderful testimony of being in the hospital room when his dad, Oral Roberts, passed on to heaven. And he says he knew that he was on his last breath. And he saw two angels in the room. And he said one was so tall that his head was above the ceiling of the room and he couldn't see them, but a massive, massive angel. And another one was a little smaller. And he said the smaller one reached down with his hands into the torso of Oral Roberts and pulled his spirit out. And he saw his spirit going up. And as his spirit went up, he saw a mantle come down, just like you were saying. And he knew that it was his mantle because he had been praying since a little boy that when his father went to be with God, that the same healing mantle that was on his dad would be on him. And I'll tell you, it's worth listening to. It'll just excite you so much. And that's why I said the anointing of God doesn't leave the earth. Right? Hallelujah. Just brought that to my memory. Praise God. So Lord, we receive that tonight, Lord. We're thanking you for what you've done in and through every single person. We thank you that shame has been broken off every person here. Lord, that the bondages that they've been held in, as you said in your word, that even the very memory of them has been destroyed and will no longer ever be even recalled in Jesus' name. I thank you that there's been an impartation of your spirit in every person that we laid hands on tonight, Lord, for the very call, the very purpose, the very thing which you have brought them to this earth to accomplish. And I'm thanking you that they will go forth in might and power and ability as the Holy Spirit works through them. I thank you that they are anointed of God, that they are called to preach the gospel to the poor, to open the eyes of the blind, to deliver the captives and set them free from every bondage and every heartache and everything that the enemy has tried to put on them. Lord, that's their call. And they are anointed now, Lord. The burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God is at work in them even now as I speak. And they'll never be the same. And I'm thanking you, Lord, for divine visitations. Divine visitations and manifestations even tonight and through the week as they sleep. as their head hits the pillow, Lord, as they're what they think is dreaming, Lord, you are ministering. You are speaking. You are guiding. You are directing. Supernaturally, visitations, manifestations, demonstrations of your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you for the word that you put in us tonight, Lord. We're thanking you that we're learning how to be quiet. We're learning how to listen. We're learning how to be still. And Lord, as we do, Lord, I thank you that there are breakthroughs that are coming to each and every one of us in our intimacy, in our relationship with you, and our ability to hear your voice. Because you said, Lord, that my sheep hear my voice. And you said, Lord, that another they will not follow. So I'm thanking you, Lord, that we will all clearly begin to more clearly hear your voice every single day and everything we do, everything we say, every place we go. And Lord, that we don't go any place by accident. We don't go any place by happenstance, but we're led, controlled, and directed by your Spirit. And the anointing of God goes with us to lay hands on the sick, covering of sight to the blind, to setting captives free. Lord, I'm thanking you. We're going to have some great testimonies in this church in the next month, the next 4 weeks, and on until Jesus comes, of the manifestations of those things in your people. And I'm thanking you for it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Well, we don't have any goodies tonight, but we did not do this earlier. But before we dismiss, why don't you meet and greet 2 or 3, 4 people, give them a big hug, give them a big God bless, and tell them that you're so glad that they're here in church, so glad they're honoring God. We love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.
This teaching has been brought to you today free of charge by the members and partners of Faith Life Fellowship. We would like to encourage you to help send this word to others at no charge. You can become a word sender today. For more information, please visit our website at faithlifedenver.org.